Aloha, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We're coming to you from Waikiki Beach. Our guest today is Mark Hauk. We're going to be exploring a little bit about what has happened since his arrest and acquittal for the event that happened at the Planned Parenthood building. And we're going to talk story more about his life and his ministry of the Kingsmen. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. My wife Cindy says I should always start our show off with the sign of the cross in Hawaiian, so we will do that. Meka inoa o ka makua ke keiki a me ke uhana hemalele. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, in one of my books, Deep Adventure Way of Heroic Virtue, I talk about the Christeros. When I was a young man in my, I think it was just my early 20s, I played the guitar, you know, kind of the hippie days, and we led the worship at a Catholic Charismatic prayer group down in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and the church was just packed, and over half the people there were Mexicano Hispanics, and so they would at the end of our prayer meeting, they would shout out "Viva Cristo Rey," and I was like, "What is that?" And they kind of explained it to me, but now I understand it more deeply. About 100 years ago, when the socialists started to take over of Mexico, they began to persecute the church. They killed the priests. They rode their horses right into the sanctuary, knocked over the sacrament, the Eucharist, and there were many martyrs. And so Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King, became their cry. And it's interesting because I think it's really become the cry of the Catholic men's movement. I know when I was with Father Mark Goring at his parish, and when he was in Houston, where he was the assistant pastor, at the end of their service, which was so powerful, by the way, they shouted out, "Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King." And whenever I go speak at men's conferences, I'll have the men stand up, and they love shouting that out. When you have 1,000 men shouting out Viva Cristo Rey, it's just so powerful. And I think, you know, people think, well, we would never have that. That could never happen, that, you know, where the government would oppress us and force us to do things that we don't want to do, like maybe stay indoors for 2 years or force us to take vaccines. Maybe we do or do not want. But the heaviness of the persecution, the FBI sending in basically developing spies within traditional Catholic churches and Christian churches, and a recent event of a friend of mine, Mark Hauk, who had the tradition of praying in front of a Planned Parenthood center with one of his children for years, his child was being harassed and his space was being violated by if you call him a man, and Mark protected his son. And he went through an arrest and fortunately an acquittal. And we want to talk with him about that, because I think now more than ever, we are called upon to stand up and stand for the Lord. So I'm so stoked. I got to visit with Mark Hauk. We were in Indiana about 2 months ago at a men's conference there. Mark, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Oh, great to be back with you, Bear. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that would never happen again, right? Where a government would oppress Christians. That's back in the dark ages.
Yeah, I've been telling everybody we're living in Nazi Germany in the 1930s. So if people think that, you know, the government don't see us as enemies, whether we're pro-lifers, Christians, Catholics, they're just not paying attention. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the government is a religion. Climate change is a religion. Pro-abortion is a religion, and the government is the you know, is the citadel of that religion. And when you're atheistic, when you're godless, you tend to have some God, right? It's in man's nature, and they have made those sorts of things their God. And those Catholics whose conscience have become reprobate, basically, they have to change who they think God is or what they think his teachings is, so that their consciences don't bother them so much. Anyway, enough about me blathering. Mark, can you tell us that story? I think our listeners would really love to.
Sure.
Go as deep as you want to, and especially I want to know about your son. How's he doing?
Sure. Well, for those that don't know the story, it all began October 13th, the day the sun danced in Fatima. 2021, I was with my son praying in front of Planned Parenthood. It's something we do every week, the weekly program for me to just go down there, spend about 8 to 10 hours in front of an abortion mill and pray. Now, sometimes I take my son, sometimes I don't. But on this particular day, I did take my oldest son, Mark. He was 12 years old at the time. And as you said, he was being badgered and harassed incessantly. And I had to, step in as
a father. We see the video of it. What you're describing is in video.
Yeah, it is. It was all caught captured on video. In fact, there's even more video that was destroyed by Planned Parenthood in advance of the trial. So unfortunately, that probably would have exonerated me. But nonetheless, the day involved me just shoving the man to get away from my son. And the local authorities wanted nothing to do with it. The Philadelphia PD, the DA, not a big deal in the city of Philadelphia for a guy to get shoved.
But when a man gets that close, I don't know that he physically touched your son, but he was right there, like right in his
space. Oh, he was a foot away from my son.
Right.
Yeah.
I think
he was a foot away from my son and continuing to harass him. Right. After repeated requests to stop, he would not stop. So, again, my First Amendment rights became about dad's rights at this point. Mm-hmm. And I did push him. Now, you know, he fell to the ground. That was it. Nothing more came of it. We did a holy hour for him, came back. I gave my ID to the authorities and I said, here's my information, here's my statement. And that was pretty much it. He put me in a private criminal complaint, which was, again, not charges being pressed by the Philadelphia Police Department or the DA, but just a man putting another man in the court proceeding. And so it was dismissed. It was dismissed on April 22nd. 5 days later, the Department of Injustice serves me a target letter. So they must have been watching the case. Now, you got to remember, the Dobbs case hasn't leaked at this point. That's going to come in early May.
That's right. Yeah. In other words, you mean that explain the Dobbs case. I mean, most people I'm sure know, but just.
Right. So on June 24th, the Dobbs case overturned Roe v. Wade. Dobbs is the name of the
case. Can you believe you just said those words?
Yeah, now
Roe v. Wade was turned over. Isn't that amazing?
But we've been working towards it, so thanks be to God. But anyhow, the climate in the country was not like pro-lifers are going to be a targets at this point. April 27th was a target letter saying I'm a target of a grand jury investigation and that I might be indicted for violations against the FACE Act, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances.
You were across the street, weren't you?
Say that again?
Were you across the street from the clinic or you were on the corner?
Oh, I was 50 feet from the entrance. I was pretty much at the corner of the street. Yeah. So there was no women even involved, no abortion-minded women or men even involved. It was just this escort worker.
You've dealt with him in the past, haven't you? Hasn't he harassed you in the past?
Oh, I've known him for 20 years. I've known the man for 20 years. So, you know, he's never done anything like this before. He's a little aggressive, but not like this. So it was a surprise to me that he would do that, but it seemed intentional. That said,
he came after your son, not you. That's kind of a cowardly thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he knew it was agitating me, so he wanted to bait me there. It's possible that he was set up to do that. But Thomas More Society was representing me at the time, so my attorney, Matt Heffron, contacted the assistant U.S. attorney and said, you have no case. My client's innocent. This is in end of April 2022. My client's innocent. There's case law even in your district against what you're doing, what you're trying to do. But should you want to indict him, no need to bring an agent out to his house. We will bring him in peacefully. So we wrote a letter we communicated all this, that no need to spend taxpayer money and send 20 agents or even 5 agents, which is normal, out to his house to arrest him in front of his family, scare his family. We'll bring him to you. Oh, and by the way, if you want to arrest him or indict him, just pick him up every Wednesday. He's on the street corner in Philadelphia. No, you know what I mean?
Praying.
There's no reason to do that.
Yeah, right.
So Dobbs is leaked in May, and then June 24th, we have the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and then you have Joe Biden in Philadelphia at Independence Hall declaring that he's going to defend abortion rights, and he wants to reinstate Roe. And then we see Mar-a-Lago, Mar-a-Lago, whatever it's pronounced. And,
well, let's take a break here. You're talking about when the FBI agents just in force show up with CNN cameras rolling, a staged arrest. But we got to take a break here. We're talking with Mark Hauck. He's with the Kingsmen. He's the founder of the Kingsmen, and I just love hanging out with. I just love this guy. Just a great guy to hang out with. Man of God and a great father, and we'll talk more about this incredible story that I hope will inspire men and women everywhere to rise up, to stand up and stand for the Lord. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Now you can journey with other men on the adventure of a lifetime, growing in manly virtue through Bear's Man Cave community and our 3-year School of Manliness. Join at deepadventure.com. Better yet, you can lead your own sons through the same compelling video, audio, and written content. Can you imagine how much deeper your relationship with your dad could have been, and how much more you could have learned and pitfalls you might have avoided if your dad had a tool like this to help to draw you both into a deeper, life-changing discussion? Now you have a trigger that you can pull that will take you into gritty discussions with other men and with your sons at deepadventure.com. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. You can gain traction in the virtues in my book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. And you can be inspired by my personal testimony of heartache and triumph with my book, A Surfing Guide to the Soul, both newly published by Sophia and available at our web store, deepadventure.com, and also on amazon.com.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I want to invite everyone to go to deepadventure.com, our website. There's a place there for the mama bears to sign up, and if you do that, the mama bears, you get access to all 34 episodes of Long Ride Home. 12 of those have not even been aired by EWTN yet, and you get access to, gosh, hundreds of our radio shows, and 250, I think, of our Ocean Sunrise Catechism, where I spend 15 minutes in the mornings by the beach teaching from the catechism. We go through the entire catechism line by line. You get access to all of those things. And Mama Bears, you can actually, there's a 1-year curriculum on the virtues that you can have there. And if you want to, you can sign up as a family plan, Mama Bears, especially you single women, single moms. And there's a 3-year curriculum that you can lead your son through on the rules of manliness. 36 different monthly lessons that are on video, are on audio, are written, have self-assessments. So it's something that single moms can help their sons go through. And you men, of course, you can join the Man Cave and the Bear School of Manliness. We have a non-Facebook community on our site, and the men challenge you and encourage each other
And we have monthly Zoom meetups with everyone, and then we go through that curriculum together. So stoked about all the hard work and effort that we put into that. But speaking of men's ministries, we have Mark Houck here. Hey, Mark, tell us, let's take a little moment, because I just talked about the man cave. Tell us about the King's Men. And well, can we? Should we do that? Or can we? Let's wait till the end of the segment. But we will get to talking about his men's ministry, the King's Men. Let's go back now. You sure. Offered to surrender yourself to the FBI or to have them arrest you there on the street corner by Planned Parenthood every sure. year there every week. And you were talking about what happened at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, so, you know, after the Dobbs case, I was just saying to your audience how pro-lifers were being picked up and indicted and arrested, and FBI raids were happening to Joan Andrews Bell. Of course, they raided President Trump's home in Florida.
They didn't just raid. They showed up with how many armed agents?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like...
I know it's not as many as I got, but there were...
Yeah.
there were plenty there.
But there were more reporters. There were as many reporters as there were agents. Yeah.
And he wasn't there either. So, yeah, there was a difference there. But nonetheless... This was the climate. So in August, my attorneys contact the assistant U.S. attorney and say, you know, what's going on? What are you doing? What's your plan here? And they would not reply to those requests. So they reached out to me, my attorney, and said, have you heard from the assistant U.S. attorney? I said, no. And they said, okay, well, maybe there's no case here, which, of course, we knew there wasn't.
They may walk away from it, but they never tell you they're going to walk away from it. So you're just left in limbo. Right.
So fast forward to September 23rd. It's 6:30 in the morning. I'm up early, and we have co-op that day. I'm a homeschool dad, another threat to the state, being a homeschool family. Mm-hmm. But I'm up early. We're going to put a quiche in the oven. I got a quiche in the oven because real men eat quiche.
They do. In Pennsylvania, they do. In Pennsylvania or whatever you call it. Yeah.
So, so it's dark out here, Bear. I'm in the forest of Bucks County, Pennsylvania. You can't see anything. And so it's 6:30 and there's a heavy banging at my door with the doorbell ringing repeatedly. And so then someone yells outside, open up. So, of course, that's exactly how the FBI needs to present themselves when they come to someone's home. They don't even announce who they are. But Merrick Garland and Director Ray would say that they did everything according.
If someone did that to my house, I would get my gun and get ready to protect my family. You know, sure. You don't know who they are, if they have authority or whatever. What was your response?
Well, you know what? I think I'm the only person in Bucks County who doesn't own a gun, although I love guns. I think they were expecting me to do that. In fact, with the amount of armory that came to my house, I think that's what they were hoping for. And a lot of law enforcement have said to me they wanted to shoot you that day. They wanted to have a reason to shoot you. So I went to the door, and since I can't see outside my door because it's a solid door, I said, who is it? And they said, bang, 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 heavy banging again, ringing the doorbell. It's the FBI. Open up. So I said, okay, I'm right at the door. Stay calm. I have 7 babies in here. Please stay calm. So I slowly opened the door, put my hands up so they would see my hands.
Good, very
and
wise.
And I came out, and I had 5 or 6 federal agents with M16s, heavily armored vests, SWAT gear on, ballistic helmets, ballistic shields, 2 battering rams, and about 10 to 15 marked and unmarked units on my property surrounding my house.
10 to 15 cars. So how many would that be? How many people would be in those?
With about two state troopers or agents in each car, that's about 20 to 25 people on my property. And the state troopers, the Pennsylvania state troopers, were pointing their pistols and long guns at me from their cars. So when I came out, this is what I see. My whole front property is covered with police vehicles. And there's people even at the back door. So I don't even know how many were back there because my daughter noticed 2 SWAT at the back door. So I said, what are you doing here? And they said, well, you know why we're here. Now, that's another thing that the FBI does, right? When they arrest somebody, they lead with the warrant. It's at the end of their gun. It's posted on the door. It's the first thing they say. We have a warrant for your arrest. Well, they didn't say anything. You know why we're here. That's all they said. And I said, oh, no, you're here because I rescue babies. And then I looked at all of them because they didn't say anything. I said, you wouldn't be here if Donald Trump was in the White House. And they didn't say anything to that. So then my wife comes down and says, and now at this point, the guns are in the threshold of the house, and they're pointing at my wife, and they're pointing at my seven children who are screaming on the steps. My wife says, do you have a warrant for his arrest? And they said, well, we're taking him with or without a warrant. So, I mean, this is the mentality.
What is that?
This is their mentality. We're going to take you by force. When parents and fathers are taken out of their home and in the middle of the night, dark o'clock, you know tyrannies are coming to this nation, right? Yeah. You know that a tyrannical government is a dictatorship is coming, and scaring little children, waking them up out of their sleep. That's exactly what they did in the Soviet Union.
It sounds like 1930s Germany. Yeah.
Germany, right? That's exactly what they were doing.
Sounds like they're Cristeros.
Exactly. So I recognize as a dad that this was not a good situation. My kids are, what do you want me to do? And essentially, they didn't produce a warrant until much later. But I said, you know, whatever you want me to do, you know, just protect, I got to protect my family. And they wouldn't let me put any clothes on, no socks, no shoes. I had flip-flops on, a T-shirt, like I was in Waikiki. But it was 30 degrees out. So they put me in the car very quickly, cuffed me in front of my children, and took me down to the federal building with my screaming children, begging them not to take me. So my kids have been traumatized. It's total victimization of them. So we drive down to the federal building, which is 100 yards from Independence Hall. It's about a two-hour drive.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, isn't that ironic? It's about a two-hour drive down there. So I'm talking about homeschooling, and when I get down there, the driver, there are two.
You're talking about homeschooling. You're talking with the guys in the car.
The agents.
I wonder how many of those agents wish they weren't there. I wonder if there were any regretted it.
I wonder myself. Yeah. Well, there were video cams that day from the dash cams. We found out that the state troopers had dash cams running. Mm-hmm. And so some of the state troopers said, this is not good. It'll be released publicly soon.
You can hear it. You can hear it.
Good.
Yeah.
We just made another enemy. We shouldn't be here. This is what the state troopers were saying to themselves. Yeah. There were no body cams on that day by the FBI, but we do have dash cams that said that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they said, you have a beautiful home as we're driving down. You live in a beautiful area. You know, tell us about homeschool. You know, like they're recording everything, but I'm talking to them about homeschool. When I get down to the federal building, the agent says, it was a real pleasure meeting you. I couldn't believe he said that. But I shook his hand and I said, well, it was a joy. And well, then what did they do after fingerprinting me?
Yeah.
They chained me to a table, belly shackled me, shackled my ankles, and chained me to a table for 6 hours. I don't know why they would need to shackle me. I'm in their custody. I mean, but that's what they did. I think they wanted to just enrage me. But you know what, Bear? I was at the foot of Calvary. I was at the foot of the cross. And I had so much peace, perfect
peace.
Did you
feel a sense of the Holy Spirit just giving you peace, huh?
I mean, I think the Prince of Peace came out of my home. Our home is enthroned to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And
praise the Lord.
I think that's why they stepped back. They kind of almost didn't say anything because they didn't know what to say, because they recognized that fear was knocking on the door. And faith answered, and they had no response. So, you know, down in the
you got to put that as part of your creed on your website. We can't forget that phrase. What did you just say?
Yeah, fear knocked on the door, faith answered, and there was no response.
We got to take a break. We got to take a break here. I'm writing this down. Fear knocked on the door, faith answered. Well said, Mark. That's a Holy Spirit. That's a Holy Spirit statement. We're talking with Mark Hauk and his harrowing, I guess, experience. I don't know what I would have done in that same situation, except for that the Lord had promised us, when they don't worry about what you will say when that time comes, because the Holy Spirit will there to speak through you, and the rest of the story really shows that. We're talking with Mark Hauk. Mark, where can people find you? At the Kingsmen?
Kingsmen.org, thekingsmen.org.
I strongly encourage men and women to go to that website, find out more about Mark and his ministry. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
This is Daniel the Boone Markham with another episode of Country Up. Dreamers. The British warrior Lawrence of Arabia once wrote, "All men dream, but not equally." Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds wake in the day to find that it was vanity. But the dreamers of the day, they are dangerous men, for they may act on their dreams with open eyes to make them possible. Christian history is sprinkled with triumphant visionary dreamers of the day, like the Dr. Martin Luther King. Coretta Scott King wrote of her husband, "If you give your life to a cause in which you believe, and if it is right and just, and if your life comes to an end as a result of this, then your life could not have been spent in a more redemptive way. I think that's what my husband has done." Now, Jesus, the ultimate dream maker, had a vision of the kingdom of God, which is described in the Sermon on the Mount. He saw it, he explained it in detail throughout the Gospels. He constantly talked about it. He lived it, he modeled it. He launched it into our darkened world. He willingly gave the ultimate sacrifice for it. Jesus didn't command us just to preach the gospel. He exhorted us to preach and live the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus has a hankering for you and me to catch his kingdom dream, a vision of how the world should be, as a prophet Amos wrote, where justice rolls like a river. Jesus is the architect, and we are his contractors. So grab your nail belt and get busy building. This is Daniel the Boone Markham at countryup.org on a journey a few miles this side of heaven.
We invite our mama bears to join with us at deepadventure.com. You'll have access to all of the Long Ride Home TV shows even before they air on EWTN. Plus, 3 years of the shareable Ocean Sunrise daily catechism videos, plus at deepadventure.com, a 20% discount at our online store with all of our great t-shirts and clothes and books and rosaries and medals and all kinds of accessories. You'll also get an autographed copy of Bear's latest book, and for a limited time, a Catholic biker stuffed teddy bear, all at deepadventure.com. Come on, Mama Bears, let's hear you roar. Did you know that each Saturday morning you can receive the shareable YouTube video version of the Bear Wozniak Adventure in our inspiring weekly newsletter, even before it airs on the radio or hits the podcast apps? Never miss another episode. You can even binge watch Bear's inspiring guests. Think about the impact you can have sharing these videos with your friends. Go to deepadventure.com and click the subscribe button.
Be the kind of man that when he gets out of bed in the morning, the devil says, "Oh no, he's up." Go to deepadventure.com and invite Bear to speak.
Aloha, this is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Welcome back. Our guest today is Mark Houck. He's telling us his story about when his home was surrounded by over 20 armed FBI agents and state troopers arrested for protecting his son in front of an assault, a harassment in front of a Planned Parenthood building. We have him here because it's a season, it's a time in our lives when more and more are being harassed like this, and we need to stand up and stand for the Lord. It's time to stand up and be counted. So Mark, you're saying you were shackled in this room, and by the way, did they have good Wi-Fi coverage there? Were you able to tune into ESPN while you were there, or EWTN?
I had no cell phone. I had nothing but my rosary. They let me take
praise
my rosary.
God, like, praise God.
Yeah, they wouldn't let me get dressed, but they let me take my rosary.
Your rosary and your flip flops.
That's right. So, you know, we were at perfect peace there. We had joy in the midst of the suffering. I didn't know when I was going to be returned to my family. They did not communicate that. There was just me and the table and a white room, and I was just praying without ceasing.
Was anybody in there, or are they just letting you stew for a while?
No, they just, nobody, just me.
They left you in there just to stew for a while.
Yeah, and I think they wanted me to get angry, but I wasn't. I had peace.
I'm sorry. Isn't it like almost like, Lord, you're giving me this opportunity to serve you like this? What a joy, you know.
It was.
You knew,
consider
it was God. God,
pure joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you suffer trials, right, and persecution. Yeah. So, right. You know, look, Bear. If I wasn't in ministry for 20 years, I may not have had that response. You know, I have been preparing my whole life, I think, but in the last 20 years in an intentional way to receive what was happening and receive it and be open to the graces that would pour forth from it. And so
they kind of picked on the wrong guy. God had been preparing you for this moment. They picked on the exact wrong person.
Well, I just felt like old Uncle Mordecai saying to Esther, perhaps for such a time as this, God has called me and my family. And so grace was sufficient. And, you know, the old patriarch Joseph would say, you know, what man intended for evil, God intends for good.
Amen.
So I just saw good coming from it.
Amen.
Even if I ended up in prison, that good would come from it. Because
amen.
All the saints that suffered in the early church ended up in prison, it seems, were martyred or killed. So
Mark, when we were together in Indiana and we're going rushing to the airport, I'm complaining because I got to walk out of the car to the airport in 35 degree temperature. That's my hardship. And you're here in a FBI cell, not knowing what's going to happen next, but the grace of the Lord is there with you.
Yeah. No, I just had the unification of my will, the unitive way, where my will and God's will were one.
It's Amen.
The first time it's ever happened
wow.
in my life. And you know what? I knew I was in his will. I knew that I had done nothing wrong, that my family was in God's will, and that he would protect us.
Praise
and
God.
And so, you know, after 6 hours, they released me on my own recognizance. So what does that tell you? I was not a threat to the
they
community.
They didn't need to have guns.
Or a violent offender, right?
Right.
I wasn't a threat.
No history.
I wasn't a violent offender, and I wasn't a flight risk. So they knew that. So why the force? Why the armory that came to my home? That's the question, and that's what—
They were trying to provoke you. They were trying to provoke you. They're trying to get a reaction from you that would be violent in some way, and then that would give them real valid charges.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so, all right. So then, at this point, they're going to release me. They have that preliminary hearing, and then I'm taken to U.S. Marshals, which was okay, fine. But why did you keep me in shackles? I had to shimmy down six flights to the basement of the building. With my shackles still on, my belly shackle, my ankle shackles. I'm like, what? This is just to humiliate me. I'm being released. I'm an innocent man. I haven't been proven guilty in a court of law. I'm not a felon. But I think they just wanted to scare, humiliate, intimidate, and send a message to pro-life America. So I go down to U.S.
Oh, they market. Did. They did do that. They woke up a lion.
Well, I got down to U.S. Marshals, and I was dehumanized by them. Because they do prison transfers, and they treated me like a felon. And so that was, you know, humbling in itself. But nonetheless, we accepted all for the glory of God. And then we left. I was reunited with my family 10 hours later. So we began that journey, which...
whole time, that's 10 hours, what was your wife doing with the children? What was that whole response?
It was a co-op day. You know what? They could have stayed at home and just lamented and cried and stayed... huddled in fear, like in the upper room, like the apostles. But they went out and they went to go and be in community with the co-op community. So they prayed and had they were with their normal routine, which was school.
Wonderful.
And then the whole community came and rallied around them and prayed with them.
Your
so
wife
they
is
got
amazing. And your family.
Community.
Yeah. Your wife, though, was very special. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, tell us your
story. Yeah. So, we come home and we begin the journey towards January 24th. Which was the trial date, and I looked at it as crucifixion date, and I felt like the Lord told me, you're going to walk the stations of the cross. And so I knew that I would journey my own personal Via Dolorosa, and that crucifixion would be the trial. And so I began that journey with my wife and my children. We got the best attorney we could find in Philadelphia, Brian McMonagle, and Thomas More Society was right behind us.
Praise God.
And we began that journey towards the trial. And it was quite an experience. I don't know if you want me to get into that, but it was a powerful, moving experience, so much so that Ignatius Press is going to publish my journal.
That's beautiful. Thank you for keeping that journal.
Yeah.
Praise God
Amen.
For that.
It's important.
We'll have you on again.
Children.
Yeah, praise God. And so, were you under house arrest, or could you move about, or?
Well, I had some travel restrictions. I wasn't under house arrest. I had to travel within the Eastern District, but if I had to travel outside of the Eastern District, they'd have to give me permission to do that. Mm-hmm. So I did do some of that.
And were you restricted from going to?
I lost some income.
Were you restricted from going to Planned Parenthood?
I was. I was restricted from going to Planned Parenthood that the incident occurred at.
Mark, you just said something. You lost quite a bit of income because your income, a lot of it is by speaking. So mm-hmm. if people wanted to donate to your cause, how can they do that?
Yeah, well, a lot of people did, and they still are, praise the Lord. But thekingsmen.org, there's a family support page there for the legal fight, and there's also donation to the ministry.
So praise God. I'll be visiting it right after the show. So tell us more then. Can you continue your story? If you feel like that time of writing that journal, tell us some of the elements of that. We got a couple minutes here before the next break.
Sure. So I wrote it as if I was Thomas More in the Tower of London, right? Just writing to my children, encouraging them, and just what I was experiencing, what their mom and dad were experiencing, what I was seeing in them, encouraging them, building them up, but also reminding them that this is God's gift to all of us, and that forgiveness. The main themes were gratitude and forgiveness. That was the main theme throughout the whole journal, which hopefully we'll be publishing. But
praise God.
You know, it was trying. You know, the stations of the cross were very challenging, and we made it all the way up to station 10 before the trial began. So in the midst of that, you know, there's great consolations in the midst of that, Bear, and there's great suffering and a lot of temptations. But the whole world reached out to us, and we had the entire world praying for us, including Mother Teresa's nuns in Calcutta, as they prayed every morning over her crypt with our family picture over her crib.
Praise God.
So, so we had a lot of love coming. One guy reached out to me before we go to break. I'll share this. He said, I'm a lousy Catholic. He said, he emailed me, but seeing what's happening to you is making me come back to church. And I thought, wow.
Praise God. You know what, man, makes me want to weep. That's so powerful. And isn't it interesting? We're sharing in the cross of Christ through those times, participating in his suffering. And what a joy. What a privilege. We're talking with Mark Hauck. Mark Hauck, how can people find you again? What's your website?
Yeah, thekingsmen.org. They can find all the information there.
We'll be back talking with Mark in a moment. I want to remind people that our own our YouTube channel is flourishing, the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel. And on there, you can become a member there. And you'll be notified as soon as we post new things. This radio show is posted to YouTube, all the different podcasts too. But as soon as it's posted to YouTube, you're notified of that. And also, if you go to deepadventure.com and you join and you subscribe to our little newsletter, every week on a Saturday morning, you get emailed to you some pretty cool content, I think, from our ministry. But also, Alana Gonzalez, by the way, she does that for us. She's wonderful. But also, you get the video version of our radio show. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Our website, deepadventure.com.
People love our EWTN TV show, Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak. Thanks to you, the show has won 4 different Tally Awards. And now, instead of waiting each week for the next episode to air, you can actually binge watch our show and even share it with your friends when you go to deepadventure.com and join the Mama Bears or the Man Cave. Along with all the other benefits, you get total access to all the seasons of our aired episodes, plus instant access to episodes that won't even air for several months. Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak, a great way to communicate the gospel in a gritty enough way that even tough men will stop and watch at deepadventure.com. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. When you go to the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel, you get access to all of our free playlists, including hundreds of episodes of the Bear Wozniak Adventure, plus the 3-year journey through the whole catechism in our Ocean Sunrise Catechism series. And you even get short clips and live streaming of Bear and Cindy's Adventures in Paradise videos. Go to YouTube and subscribe to the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure channel.
Are you still listening? I thought we warned you to change to an easy listening station. Well, you asked for it. Here is more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Aloha, this is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We're talking with my friend Mark Houck. We got to be with each other in St. Leon, Indiana a couple months ago and rode with each other to the airport. I just got a brief little update with him on what happened when over 20 armed FBI and Pennsylvania State Troopers knocked on his door in the dark of the morning, and not a polite knock, and basically drug him off and arrested him for standing in front of the Planned Parenthood and defending his son. So we need to, we got about 8 minutes left. So you know what the high points are from here, especially the trial itself. But go ahead. I don't want you to skip ahead. Let us hear the story.
Yeah, so we got to January 21st, and I knew we would have to enter into deep prayer. So I called my pastor and I said, can we do a mass and can we have all night adoration in advance of the trial? So it would be the 23rd into the 24th. And I was going to keep an all night vigil. And I'd done this before some pro-life work I did. And I said, you know, this is too important to not go into prayer. Jesus was in prayer all night and Holy Thursday. I said, let's do this. And my lawyer team said, please don't do this. You need to be sharp. You need to be rested. I said, look, man, this is a spiritual battle. It's just as much a spiritual battle as it is legal. I said, I'll be sharp. I'll be ready. But I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying for the jury. I'm going to be praying for the judge. I'm going to be praying for the prosecution. We're going into prayer. So we did. We kept an all-night vigil on the 23rd into the 24th. We started with Mass. And I had about 50 to 100 people with me all through the night, which was beautiful.
Praise God.
We left at 5:30 in the morning. We went down to the federal court building. We were there by 8. And I was energized. I was ready to go. And we began with the jury selection. And that was painful. Most of the jurors that were selected were supporters of Planned Parenthood. It didn't really reflect a jury of my peers. But the trial began the next day on the 25th. And I knew I would be stripped of my garments. I would be nailed as the prosecution began. Now, you got to remember, the federal government has a 98% conviction rate, Bear. They don't lose cases.
Yeah.
Now, I said to my attorneys, are they going to come in with a plea prior to the trial? And they said, no, that's got to come from you. I said, well, I'm not going to ask for a plea. Well, on January 6th, of all dates, the government came in with a plea. No time, no fine, and no probation. Basically, a slap on the wrist. Just plead guilty to count two, which is the assault charge. And essentially, it's a conviction for the government, and they're moving on to the next pro-lifer. I said, well, I'm not taking that. But I said, let me talk to my wife. So I go home, I talk to my wife, and she says, well, you're not taking that because you're innocent. One, it's a cowardly deal. And two, if you decide to take it, don't bother coming home.
So why was she so wishy-washy? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. No, man, she knew.
Don't you? A wife like that. What a special wife. What a special wife. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I have one of those too. Yeah.
Yeah. And she said, we need to do this for the good of the pro-life movement. We need case law. So we need to risk being thrown into prison because it was worth it. It's a cause bigger than ourselves.
Praise God.
So we're in day three of the trial after the prosecution pretty much nails me to the cross. I go on the stand and my son takes the stand. He goes before me and he does a phenomenal job.
Wow.
Yeah, my 14-year-old boy.
He's
on
14.
The stand.
Wow. What, yeah, and Mark, your namesake, right? Yeah. What is Mark, right?
Mark Jr. Yeah.
And
then I went on the stand and I would pray for a spirit of confusion. And you know what? The prosecution was all over the place. They really didn't have much to say. And I didn't give them an inch. And we came off the stand.
But they asked you one really cool question. Two questions, I think it was. Someone asked you anyway, do you consider them murderers or something to that effect? And you had a really beautiful response. What was that response?
Yeah, they said, you think of them as baby killers and murderers. I said, no, I don't. They said, well, what do you think of them? I said, I think of them as collaborators in the evil of abortion. And they said, well, then you believe that they're baby killers. I said, no. I said, they're sinners just like me.
That was so profound. That was so Holy Spirit. They're sinners just like me.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
And I said, I'm there just for that. I'm there for them just as much as I'm there for the women. So, you know, I'm on the stand. I come off the stand. Now the jury has the case. I'm resting in the arms of Mary and Jesus.
But they showed you. They showed the images. And there was another question that they asked you. Did you go help the man when you pushed him and he fell down? You didn't push him down. He's the uncoordinated man who was pushed. You pushed him high in his center of gravity and he stumbled back and fell. If they had asked me that question, I would have said, what was your answer? What was your response to that? I thought it was
I did not. They said, did you apologize for pushing him? I said, no. They said, did you help him up? I said, unfortunately, no. I said, but I did go and I did a holy hour for him.
But you also, I think you said something to the effect of, I went and helped my son. I mean, that's
well,
the right response.
Son,
that's what you were doing.
Yeah, my son and I left. My son and I left. I got him out of there. I got him to safety. I didn't want
him
to be.
And you did a holy hour
anymore,
for him.
And we left.
That's a lesson to us. When someone offends us, it's a God-given appointment for us to pray for them. And when someone offends us, that's God saying, pray for that person. That's what, you know, bless those that curse you.
Yeah. So we did pray. And you know what? I didn't see Bruce much after that. I said goodbye to him later that day. But nonetheless, the jury gets the case. And they're deadlocked, Bear, on Friday of the 27th, the day I met my wife 16 years prior.
Wow.
And I met her at a pro-life prayer vigil. So these things weren't lost on me. So they went to the weekend. And so I was in the tomb for 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
That is interesting.
14.
Praise God, yeah.
And then we emerge from the tomb on Monday. We come out. And the jury's there, and they have a problem. They're passing all these notes to the judge, and they said, there's a man in here who's intimidating people. He won't deliberate. And so they had to kick a guy off the jury at the 11th hour, which was amazing. Never done. And so we didn't know if it was for us or against us. We didn't know. So they bring in the alternate, and we had to wait at 3 o'clock, divine mercy hour.
Praise
after
God.
Less than an hour deliberating, they render a not guilty verdict. On January 30th, and the judge told me I was free to go, and I rejoiced in that, of course, and I thanked the judge, and he said, no, Mr. Houck, thank you. I think the judge knew that this would be a very important case.
Tell us, Mark, we have just a few minutes left. Speak to our listeners. What is the Lord saying to us in this hour?
Yeah, you know, the Lord's been speaking a lot to me in this hour, and it's our finest hour. I mean, look, saints are being raised up. Mm-hmm. When you're attacked and persecuted, again, consider it pure joy, Book of James. So when we're attacked and persecuted, we know that the church is gonna be pruned and it's gonna grow. And so we know that, you know, we are part of this, and we have to say yes to that white martyrdom every day as fathers, as husbands, as mothers, as wives and lay people in the church. We have to say yes to these invitations that are grace. Everything's a sacrament. Everything's grace. And so in the midst of this great persecution, I felt that all of it was pure grace. And it drew me closer to my Lord. It's drawing my kids closer to my Lord. And so at this hour, like, you know, I just say, and people say, I'm so sorry you had to go through that. I said, well, don't be, because it was a real blessing.
You know, and also, you know, we don't wait for these things to happen. The reason why that this season in your life happened was because you were in the battle. You were on the corner of the Planned Parenthood building. And so I just encourage people. I was interviewing Father Basil Cole the other day, and I've used in the past the statement, you know, that the Holy Spirit will give you a nudge and move on that nudge and test to see if it's the Lord's will. Maybe God wants you to teach catechism. Maybe he wants to homeschool your kids. Maybe he wants you to run for city council. You know, maybe the Lord wants you to talk to that person that you see every morning when you go get your coffee. Maybe there's a word that you have for him. And he used the word shove a little bit more than a nudge. Well, during this time, don't just wait for something to happen. Make something happen. Maybe it's to join Mark Houck's The King's Men. Mark, tell us about your ministry. We've got another minute, less than that.
Sure. Real quick. You know, we started 20 years ago, and it's just at its origin, its heart is a small men's group. So we have small men's groups around the country, and we have retreat offerings that supplement those men's
incredible
groups.
Retreats.
Yeah.
I haven't got to be on one yet, but yeah.
We've got to get you on one of those. But great adventure type retreats like yours. And And then we do healing for healing work for men that, you know, really need some
beautiful
healing.
Beautiful, Mark.
So
beautiful.
We do that, and then we continue to build partners around the world and in our country. And, you know, but there's more information at thekingsmen.org.
Oh, and that's all? That's all you do?
Yeah, no, no, that's not all I do.
Well, what do you do?
Look, man, there's so much work to be done in the vineyard.
Yes, man. Yeah. We need men. I love it when I meet a man like your other men. Step up to the front of the battle line. Step up with us. You know, if God can use knuckle draggers like Mark and I, he can certainly use you. He's the God. He uses those who are willing, and he'll perfect you along the way. Believe me, you'll be humbled. You'll be challenged. But step forward. Go to Mark's website. Is it thekingsman.org or is Kingsman?
Yeah, thekingsman.org.
Or go to deepadventure.com and we will, believe me, just give us a hint that you're interested in stepping in, and we will be right there with you to encourage you. Thank you, Mark. God bless you. God bless your beautiful bride and your wonderful children. Tell them Uncle Bear says aloha.
I will tell them, and tell your audience to pray for May 16th. I'll be testifying before Congress.
Praise God. Yeah, you just said those words.
Yeah.
I'll be testifying. What? Until next week, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
Thanks for listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Find more manly conversation at the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel. Subscribe and ring the bell.